Thank you. We're joined, as usual, by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island Political Science Professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
We're pleased to welcome our special guest, State Representative Jay Edwards, Democrat of Tiverton. Thanks for joining us, Jay.
Thank you for having me, Ian.
The General Assembly is pushing back the deadline for coming up with a new plan for tolls on the Saconnet River Bridge linking Tiverton and Portsmouth. Meanwhile, our guest, Representative John Edwards, is promoting a plan to collect money for maintaining bridges without tolls on the Saconnet. Rep, let me ask you a question that my friend Scott McKay here often likes to ask. Why should residents in places like Woonsocket and Westerly, who rarely, if ever, go over the Saconnet River Bridge, be asked to pay for its upkeep?
They're actually not being asked to pay for its upkeep. The toll on the Saconnet River Bridge is only a very small portion of the entire infrastructure plan. It's a 10-year plan with $1 billion set aside. And according to Mike Lewis, director of DOT, if this plan is implemented and he gets the funding that he's expecting to out of this plan, Rhode Island will go from worst to first in the country for infrastructure. If we don't, we're going to wake up one day and our infrastructure is going to look like something out of the third world. This is a problem. It's a policy choice. The state of Rhode Island needs to make it and needs to make it now.
What level of optimism do you have that your proposal will become law this year?
Well, I'm a perpetual optimist, Ian, but I am optimistically confident that a portion of this bill is going to be implemented because a lot of the other legislators understand that infrastructure really is important. And it's not just about our roads and bridges. We also need to fund adequately RIPTA, and we need to make sure that the people who are using the bridges on Aquidneck Island, the Pell and the Saconnet, are not the only people who are being tolled in the entire state. We need to freeze the toll on the Pell, and we need to have no toll on Saconnet so we don't have a bar to our commerce going on down there.
Scott, what is your assessment of Rep. Edwards' transportation funding bill?
Well, it seems like a reasonable proposal, particularly if you're from the East Bay. But again, if I'm from Burrville, or Foster or Gloucester, as Ian pointed out, maybe I'm not so happy with it.
Well, you know, 62% of all the deficient bridges and roads in the entire state are in Providence County. This bill will address that issue. All of our roads and bridges will be brought up to repair in the next 10 years.
And everybody's going to pay for it.
And everybody throughout the entire state will pay for it. But it's all coming from existing funds.
Well, that's the point. Is it really coming from existing funds? Are we reallocating? You hear Gina Raimondo and you hear all these candidates now talking about investment. It's a good long-term strategy. But in the short term, how do we get the money to do this and allocate these resources given all the other constraints and the really desperate shape economically that we're in?
Well, we as a state have to make a conscious decision. This is not going to be easy, but due to our small size, Rhode Island is actually able to do this. We're probably the only state in the country that could. If you tried to do this in New York or California, this would probably fail because of the magnitude of their budgets and the problems they have. Rhode Island can fix its own roads with its own funds over the course of one 10-year period.
Ballots have gone out for the first round of voting by union members and retirees on the proposed state pension settlement, and already there are some problems. The Procho reports that a dead retiree got a ballot, while about 19 active teachers did not get ballots. Maureen, how serious do you think these problems are?
Well, first of all, I want to say that one person not getting a ballot and having it on the front page of the journal is a little, you know, exaggerated, to be sure. Of course, there's going to be misplaced ballots. And it is a complicated process that involves a class action suit, and it's hard for the public as well as the union members to understand it. That said, the confusion around it, angering union people, angering taxpayers, and also unsettling some legislators that I've talked to, does not bode well for this. And I think it's going to turn into, my phrase, a fandango.
Scott, under the agreement struck between the state and public employee unions, ballots that are not returned will be counted as yes votes. Do you think this process is fair, and how do you see the outlook?
Well, it's the way the process was set up. Here's the idea that people have to understand. This is just the first round. We're in spring training. This whole thing, if it does get approved by the union folks, and there's a vigorous debate going on, this Projo story again was much ado about not very much. And then what happens is it goes back to Judge Sarah Taff Carter to be certified as a case. Then we have another round of balloting. So we are a long way to go in this process.
Rep. Edwards, it seems like there's not a whole lot of enthusiasm in the General Assembly for voting on this proposed pension settlement. Do you expect that the General Assembly will vote on this measure if it ultimately reaches the legislature this year?
I think there's a lot of water to go underneath this bridge before anything comes back before us. And if it does, I think it's going to come late. It could possibly come in the session after the elections.
The passionate debate on guns returned to the State House this week. Some advocates say that banning assault-style weapons and large-capacity magazines will reduce gun violence, but gun advocates say that these restrictions will penalize law-abiding gun owners while doing little to affect criminals. Last year, we saw that there weren't really any significant gun changes in the aftermath of the school shooting in Newtown, Connecticut. Do you think it'll be any different this year, Scott?
Well, there's always been a strong gun lobby at the State House, even though if you poll this in Rhode Island, the public is vastly in favor of stronger gun controls. And I think it particularly they need to crack down on the idea that people with mental illness, as we saw that horrible incident in Newport, can get guns and we don't report to the national database. I think the legislature should close that loophole as fast as they can.
Rep. Edwards, I believe you said on your campaign website that you're a member of the NRA. Where do you see the dividing line between what is too extreme and what should be done to reduce gun violence?
I think, number one, we need to take an approach with the mental health issue. It obviously is something that needs to be addressed. Whether we have a viable piece of legislation that comes out this year or not, we're waiting to see. Rep. Ruggiero has a bill, I believe, is going to be coming out very shortly. And until I see it, I really won't be able to answer that question.
Why does anybody need an assault weapon?
Have you ever fired one? They're actually a lot of fun to shoot. I mean, people have them, and they do use them for, like, sporting and target practice.
Sporting? Like you shoot a deer with an
assault
weapon?
I mean, not shooting deer, but I'm talking about if you go out to shoot, you know, clay pigeons or to shoot targets. People use them a lot, and they are actually fun to shoot.
Now, Maureen, it's as Rep. Edwards said, it seems like we might see the state of Rhode Island passing more information on mental health data to a national database on gun ownership. Do you expect any other changes this year?
First of all, I want to say what I know of it, it looks like it's a reasonable bill, and some people in this mental health bill have, Republicans have already signed on. In terms of the larger issue, I think the anti-gun lobby is going to get more traction this year for two reasons. One, because it's an election issue, and so that's going to continue to come up. And secondly, related to Scott's point, most people want restrictions.
Yes, they do.
And they are being energized by this debate. And so I don't think it's going to be as easy for the gun lobby to get their way this year as it was last year.
Let's stick with Maureen here. Cranston Mayor and Republican gubernatorial candidate Alan Fung briefly reinstated the city's police chief, Marco Palumbo, this week before Palumbo retired. Maureen, what do you make of the timing and circumstances of this, given how there's been a parking ticket scandal in Cranston, which remains under investigation by state police?
The mayor is trying to be political with this in the sense that he's allowed the police chief to retire, and that's one issue, while the state investigation is going on. So he can create new leadership for the Cranston Police Department, and then the next step of this will be to see who is responsible underneath this. I think it's got to move fast for him. That one two-step is okay, but he's got to get this behind him or he's going to have trouble in the primary.
Scott, how do you think Mayor Fung has handled this issue?
Well, it depends what the state police come up with. I think in Rhode Island, most people do trust the state police to be independent, do an investigation. Now, if there's any culpability on the part of people in his administration, then there's trouble. And if there's not, then I don't think it really affects his run for governor.
What's the view from the East Bay on this situation, Rep. Edwards?
Well, it's a Cranston issue. It doesn't really involve the state. We're just very happy that we have two really strong Democratic candidates on the other side who are very viable and we look forward to working for in the future.
Two? Well, I thought there were three major candidates. Who are you supporting for governor?
I really like Mayor Tavares. I also think Treasurer Raimondo is an excellent candidate. Both of them are ready to go. I think they both have the experience, and I think that they could be very good governors.
All right. We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And State Representative Jay Edwards, Democrat of Tiverton.
Thank you very much, Ian.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, please visit our On Politics blog at ripr.org.